1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
Brought to you by ScreenX, exclusively at Market Ridge Cinema in New Berlin. ScreenX provides moviegoers with a 270-degree viewing experience. Immerse yourself in the breathtaking visuals at Marcus Ridge Cinema's ScreenX in New Berlin. Get your tickets at marcustheaters.com.
Sounds like action to me.
Yes, there was a sudden change
in pace, right? You feel it in the air. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the program. You are one of the busiest people I know, Brian. Brian Anderson, good afternoon.
Man, that was a great transition. The production quality has really, really stepped up here in the last few years for you guys.
You're in the big leagues now. You're in the big leagues now, son. Come on. Pick it up a little bit. It's not that TNT, TBS stuff that you get away with there. Hey, he made a shot. Look at that replay.
Flipping under the radar.
Right.
Now I'm with Bob and Brian. I guess, man, I've been worried about this interview for 3 days.
I'm glad. I have a tough question. I have a tough question for you right out of the box, too, BA. You ready for this?
What do you got? Yes.
When was the last time you left your fly down and didn't know? We were just talking about that.
Oh, that's like every few days. So that's
really?
pretty common. Yeah, that happens more frequently as you age and you have to, go to the urinal more often. That's a pretty common.
I'm impressed to find thing. Someone who's so comfortable with his shortcomings or zipper cummings, whatever you want to call it.
It does remind me of one of the greatest bus conversations I ever had, we ever had as a group. I won't name names, but I will say the Brewers were in the middle of a horrific losing streak. This is many, many years ago, and it was very quiet on the bus, and it was very, there was tension in the air, and a prominent member of the organization stood up and said, "So when's the last time you pooped your pants?" But he didn't say it quite like that. And that opened up an incredible conversation of, everybody's got one of those stories. So yeah. That was good.
Yeah.
Good memory.
Yeah. So it happens. It happens. Kerry brought it up, and then I quickly recalled I did it not that long ago. Mm. Now poop my pants, not the
zipper thing.
Yeah, the zipper thing. So
yeah,
and
you never know. You get to a certain age, and a hard sneeze that'll create a lot of problems.
Could change your life.
For you.
Yeah.
At least
as a catcher, when you're down in that position,
you're vulnerable.
You are vulnerable.
Yeah.
Man, completely. All of it is out there, just hanging out for everybody to see, and completely vulnerable. I don't miss those days, man.
Yeah.
I had a protective cup shattered in high school. I was down on, I was guy got lazy. I was down on one knee catching batting practice, and man, I pulled it out in six pieces and just.
Got to be careful, right? There could be sharp shards.
I'm telling you.
Well,
you had to have a surgeon's touch to remove all those shards out of there. It was brutal, man. I still have trauma.
This is what I'm talking about. This is a guy. People see you and they go, "Look at this guy. He's all buttoned up, not a hair out of place. His wardrobe is perfect. He doesn't screw up any words. He doesn't say things like Mocky Mountain during the game or anything like that." But then you think, "How did this happen?" Well, a shattered cup, my friend.
Yes.
If you're gonna, if you're gonna move
on, a shattered cup and an unzipped zipper.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very
right.
Common.
Exactly. So what's
do we have? We don't have another Brian Anderson on the team anymore, right? We don't.
Not anymore. Yeah. Those are the good old days.
Right, when there was one in the booth
one
on the field.
But
there's a few of us out there. The Rays announcer is still Brian Anderson. The Brian Anderson that played for the Brewers is now with the Mariners, and the Mariners are coming to town tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's currently in AAA, there's been some chatter that he might get called up, so we might have a Brian Anderson reunion. We'll see. I don't know. I hope he gets called up.
So
I love saying my name. It's the one name I know I won't forget when the ball's flying out.
And you know,
say
in
it
sports,
all you want.
Just the confluence of three Tony Bennetts is the only one that can beat the two Brian Andersons that I can think of.
That's a good one. That's a good one. There's we always look for those Brian Andersons. The broadcaster for the Rays, there's the player that was with us last year, and then there is the former White Sox who was the coach at Northwestern for a while. I think he's an assistant at Northwestern still, but he's the other one. So we have them all labeled in my phone. I'm one because I'm the oldest.
What's your
BA1, BA2, BA3, BA4?
What's your schedule look like? Where are you going to be in the near future?
It's a mess, but I will be back tomorrow. I'm back on the Brewers broadcast tomorrow, okay. God willing. Okay. I'm in Los Angeles right now. I've been here for 10 days. We started with – it's just, you know, my boss is at TNT Sports – laid out a really good schedule for me because it is a busy time, but I'm basically in Los Angeles. I started with our regional was here, so the West Regional. So we started that Thursday. We got here Tuesday for that, and then the practices, and then the games. So the Sweet 16, and then the Elite Eight. That was here in LA at Crypto.com. Eventually, Alabama won that regional. They're going to the Final Four with Wisconsin, a cheeser leading the way. Nate Oates is their head coach. Mm-hmm. He's from Watertown. So that was fun. So then I had a couple days off. Then I did a Major League Baseball game on TBS. Our first TBS broadcast was Tuesday. And I did Dodgers-Giants. Giants were here in L.A. And a day off yesterday. And then I've got Nuggets-Clippers tonight. So I'm back in the NBA. I'm going to take the red eye home after this game tonight, and then I'm going to be with Rock tomorrow for the Mariners series, which I'm excited about.
I can't imagine he's not going to be excited to see you. I just can't. I'm going to tune in for the pregame. I want to see two men who look like they haven't seen each other in some time, and they are happy to see each other again.
It'll be like that Flock of Seagulls reunion you were talking about.
Yes. Yes, it will be like the Flock of Seagulls reunion. That's what people will say. They look as happy as the guys in Flock of Seagulls. You don't even know. It doesn't make any sense.
I saw the Flock of Seagulls in concert on 6th Street in Austin when I was in high school.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Back in their heyday?
Yeah. They were in it. They were in the middle of it. They started with Iran, and then nobody remembers anything else after that.
Sure.
That song was terrible.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, they were on a band reunion show.
It's an old show. It's an old, old show. Oh. It was out, like, Bands Reunited was out 20 years ago on VH1. And I thought it was a really good show because they got these bands that broke up, and they flew around the world or the country and found all the members and got them to agree to do a one-off show.
Oh, I like that.
And
that's great.
And Flock of Seagulls is one of them. And the two of the guys in the band, now I don't know this, I don't know what do you know about Flock of Seagulls?
I know one song, and then I saw them in concert on 6th Street.
All right. That's right.
So 1987.
Right. The lead singer and the drummer are brothers, okay?
Didn't know that.
Therein lies the problem, because they just could not get along. It's a typical story of a band that has brothers in it. They just can't get along. Any band that has it. Ask Oasis.
The Van Halen.
Okay. But anyway,
they were pretty good. So that's why
they broke up. And they had to go find all these guys. They got them back together. And it's one of the ones that I've watched, and I think, look, there is just pure joy on their faces playing together again. I thought that is really, really a nice.
Yeah,
and if they had to do it a second night, I think it would fall apart.
But it was a one-off, and you know, it was really nice. And I want to see that just absolute joy on your face and Rock's face mm-hmm. tomorrow night. You know, what time's first pitch tomorrow? 7:05.
Yeah, so pregame on Valley Sports.
You're going to have your little shoulder to shoulder field in the background opener there that you do.
It's more like shoulder to rib cage for me and Rock. He's a much bigger.
Oh, he's a big guy. He's a big fella.
And don't forget, hey, this would be embarrassing if you forgot. Rock is in his 30th year. In the booth now.
That's
now,
right.
Now, no, to a lot of people,
we've made a big deal of it.
Yeah. Well, you better keep making a big deal out of it too. You don't need him getting hurt feelings.
Well, we don't want him to think it's his last year. I mean, you know, when you make too big of a deal of it, it's like, hey, 30 years is probably enough, Rock.
Now, a lot of people...
We're not doing that. We want 30 more out of them.
A lot of people would be impressed with, wow, 30 years, but we've been here 37. So
you guys are really old.
Can you name the guy who sat in that chair before Rock?
No. No idea.
Pete?
No idea.
Vukovic.
Oh, it was, yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No, Vuk did it for a year or two. Painful.
I had no idea.
Everything was cheese. I was throwing cheese. Everything was cheese with Vuk.
You know, back then they weren't televising, you know, many games. But those were the days when, you know, a lot of owners, including Mr. Selig, thought that putting the games on TV would prevent people from wanting to go to the games live.
Yes.
So yeah. They didn't do many games back in those days, but I did not know that Pete Vukovic did Brewers television. Did he work with Jim Paschke, or was that
he was with Paschke, and I think I can go back one further. Before Vuk, I think it was Del Crandall.
I knew Del was part of the broadcast team, but I could totally see that. That's a good man there, Del Crandall. Pete Vukovic has the greatest line ever. Every time you see him, if you say, "Hey, Vuk, haven't seen you in a while," his response is always, "That's because I know your schedule."
I've heard that a million times.
The best. It just stops you in your tracks. It's amazing watching people just have no comeback for that.
Is it going to be shocking the next time you see him when you say, "Haven't seen you in a while," and he says something else? You go, "Whoa, you changed the routine on me, Vuk."
Yes, he only knows me as the little guy that works with Rock. He does not know who I am, but he just says, "Rock and that little guy that you work with." So that's kind of how he knows me.
You know, in most ballparks, Rock's been there 30 years. You've been with the Brewers how many years now, Brian?
I'll be starting my 18th year
18th
tomorrow.
18th year?
Yeah.
That's insane.
I was on your show.
Yeah.
You guys had us on. Year one is like also one of my favorite stories because we were in separate cars. And I know we've told this before, but it was opening day, and Rock just left me. I had no idea. I didn't know the back roads and your station and how to get to the ballpark. I got stuck on the highway to the point where I was stuck in traffic for so long, they had to come get me in a golf cart so I could get to the booth for the pregame show. So they brought two guys out. One guy jumped in my car. I jumped on the golf cart, and the other guy drove me back because I couldn't get my way in. I had no idea where I was. That was coming out off your show.
Better than having to park.
Opening day.
Yeah.
I couldn't get there.
So when you
full panic.
When you get to the booth, did you look at Bill and go, "What the F, man? Where'd you go?"
Yeah, no, he said that to me. He's like, "Where you been?
Where you been?"
Literally 2 hours later, he goes, "Where have you been?" I go, You cut across four lanes of traffic from coming off Holly to General Mitchell. I didn't know that. I got stuck on the highway traffic, and man, I've never been so panicked in my life. It literally took years off my life.
So
I think I popped three gray hairs in that moment.
So Bill has been on the broadcast now for 30 years. You've been there for 18, and I don't mean to. I don't care how it sounds. It's you. You'll understand. Combined, you can't touch what Euchre's done. Together, you guys have 48 years in. Euchre's on year 51 in the booth. That's incredible.
It's a legacy. Only Vin Scully would have a better, longer legacy than when it's all said and done. And Euchre's going strong. He's 90, and I was listening to him the other day. He sounds great. He's sharp as ever. He's such he's an icon, but, you know, once you're in the circle and you see him, he's just a guy. He's just a regular guy that is very famous and has people shouting movie lines at him every day of his life for the last 40 years. He's awesome on the air, man. He's so great. He's such a part of the fabric of everything that we do and everything that is Milwaukee Brewers baseball.
I wonder if anyone ever shouts lines from Mr. Belvedere at him.
No, it's mostly just must be in the front row.
Right. Just a bit outside.
Just
a bit outside. Yeah, he loves that. Make sure you do that when you see him.
You ever shout that at him when you see him?
No, are you kidding me? I want to continue his friendship. He'd probably have me fired if I did that, actually.
He would have that power, too, over a guy who's got 18 years 100%. In already. Yeah.
No, he's got full authority on every member of the staff.
I've said for years, I don't think we realize as Brewer fans how good we have it with our announcers, whether it's TV or radio. I think we have really, year after year, had terrific announcers in the booth. You know, I can say
with honesty, we know how good we have it as Brewer announcers with this fan base and the ballpark and the people we work for, our bosses. Mark, our owner, is great to us and with us, and doesn't mean he's always happy with us, but, you know, it's always up front. We never worry. We always know where we stand, good or bad, and it's great. It's a great relationship. So, you know, I appreciate hearing that from you, but also it's so mutual. It's such a mutual experience that's why we never leave, and I don't ever want to leave, and Uke's been here forever, and Jeff's, you know, all of our guys have longevity now. Jeff Levering's got longevity.
Right.
Sophia's been on it 12 years.
Yeah,
12
right.
years. She was like 12 when she started.
How much Gatorade has that poor girl had dumped on her over the years?
Yeah,
being
she can't get her.
Right. Every
she
post,
can't get her. She's too fast.
Every
she's
post-game interview, she is like got to clear out of the way. And
yep.
I don't know
she
if
knows.
She – I can't tell if she does it in heels or if she has tennis shoes on or what she does. But, yes, she's dodging it every night.
And the truth is that the players, for years now, in the first couple of years, he kind of would get hit by the Gatorade. I remember it was Ron Rennecke that pulled the team in and said, make sure she is protected at all times. And that's kind of carried on. And she has so much respect in the organization, especially with those players. They wouldn't dare get anything on her, or any Gatorade or sunflower seeds, and yeah, she's kind of the queen. You know, she's the queen down there. She is always to be protected.
I'm glad you brought up Mark Attanasio. The home opener, you know, he's doing his interview. You know, he's on in like the fifth or sixth inning, whatever it is. But I gotta tell you, I didn't really care for it, and I'll tell you why.
Okay, fire away. I didn't see that, but let me know.
He didn't come up to the booth. They brought him the whole smash, the headset, the microphone, all that down in his seat while he's watching the game. I got to tell you, I don't care for that.
We prefer that because for a number of reasons. We actually prefer he comes to the booth and he always wants to come to the booth, but we actually like him in his seats because it's actually technically easier for us. And we have a headset right there. He's got a monitor. It's in the moment. It's, you know, it's a great feel and vibe from somebody down on the field that is an interesting subject that we want to talk to. So that's our reasoning. I mean, he would come up to the booth. He would go wherever we asked him to go, whether it's to the point. You know, that's our other spot. We like to put Rick out in the point with Sophia, and that's a beautiful visual. And so he'll go wherever we ask him to go, but, you know, he's got his whole family down there, and he's right by the on-deck circle. And through the years, we've had moments where players have come up to him while he's been on, or we've had, let's say, you know, we're kind of building for a moment. So let's say somebody homers. We always do it at the bottom of an inning. So let's say a Brewer homers. He's down there. We're going to get all that reaction and sound from the front row with the owner, and then maybe the player will come by. So that's our fault that we put him down there.
Do you ever have to broadcast with the big antenna headphones and backpack unit for the microphone or anything?
Yeah,
like
you're
that?
At some political
when
convention?
I did Texas high school football when I first started, and you guys will know this because you're old.
Yes.
But remember the Marty?
Oh,
the
yeah,
Marty
yeah.
broadcast? So the Marty was a thing that would give you a clear sound, but the Marty had to have a straight shot.
You needed a clear line of sight back to the station for that thing.
And so I can remember vividly Gonzales, Texas, climbing up to the top of the press box, up the light pole, attaching the antenna of the Marty, dropping that down into the mixer, you know, and we would – and then I called the game from the – stands from like the stairway because there was only room for the equipment and the analyst who was also the engineer, and then I had to stand on the other side of the wall to call a small high school football game in Gonzales, Texas. And the quarterback's mother was so pissed at me because he'd thrown a couple of interceptions, and I was just basically giving the facts, and she she was wagging her finger at me.
From like two rows away?
Or? One more time. Yeah. Those are the good old days, man. That's how I started in this business.
Yeah, we used to have to go out and set Marty's up on remotes in Florida when we first started. Well, we didn't have a station van or anything, and they came. You know, they had a long pole, right? Because you had to stand the antenna up in the air. Well,
yeah, you mean to gather those things to? Yeah,
I had to stick that long pole in my 75 Malibu and truck down the road with it. You know, it's sticking out the window. You got the Marty in the back seat, and then there was no talk back on those, so you could see how the signal was. You would just hook it up and go. The guy in the studio, you would just say, if you can hear me, take the song out of program for a second. You know, bump, bump, exactly. And you take it out. Okay, he's got me. All right, take it out of program if the signal is good. Doesn't take you out.
Oh, man, this is a country station, a country music station that we then did the high school football games on Friday nights. So, you know, it'd be just random Buck Owens would be playing, and then, you know, then all of a sudden it's us on the broadcast, so... Man, you guys remember the two things I reference all the time is the Marty and the bulking of the cart. Nobody knows what I mean anymore. But
bulk erasing instead of dragging feet of tape over a record head or a race head.
It was just a gigantic magnet. It had a big red button on it. You could hear it when you turn it on.
Bulk erasing.
Bulk the cart. I once bulked the entire Rush Limbaugh show, which was about to air.
Oh, boy.
I bulked the whole show when I was an intern, man. And I had to go on the air and basically do an improv sports talk show because I didn't have the Rush Limbaugh show.
How did you bulk?
Nice going.
How did, you accidentally bulk the entire? I'm sure it was on reel-to-reel, right?
No, it was on a cart. The whole show was on a cart back then. This is like 1990.
It must have been enormous. Okay, go ahead.
So we would bring in we would bring it off the satellite and put it on the cart, and then we would play. Each hour had its own cart.
Okay, and it's still a big cart.
I had all these. My other job was to bulk the cart so they were clean. You could use them again. Well, I accidentally got the first hour of the Rush Limbaugh show, and I bulked that one too. Oh man, that was brutal. I thought
cart
my,
for those who don't know
my
is
whole
a,
media career was over.
Is short for tape cartridge,
right?
Not a four wheeled vehicle,
right? And we had cart machines that you had to stick each individual commercial in and hit the start button and all.
Correct.
It was painful.
That's when
it was
you were really jockeying discs and carts and tapes and.
Yeah,
all
you guys know. See, I finally found my people.
There we go.
I actually just said this the other day. I played golf yesterday in L.A., and I said, you know, this one of the guys I was playing with was, like, going through a lot of mechanics of his swing. And the guy I was playing with, you know, he's a radio guy, too, and I was just like, we got to bulk the cart on this one. Meaning, I don't want to hear all this stuff because I got my own problems. and he's much younger than me, and he looked at me like I had three heads. And he bulked the cart.
What is that?
We got to just erase all that he just said about his golf swing.
So when you were forced into action and had to begin the Brian Anderson Sports Hour or two, did you have music like Celebration or anything that you played to kick off the show?
Oh, heck no! It was a raw open. People probably felt like it was breaking news, like a UFO had been spotted. And then I can remember I was winging it, man. I don't even remember what I said. I remember, like, we talked a lot about the Spurs back. This is a station in San Antonio, the great KTSA radio, 55 on your AM dial. And, and then we went to the news guy, and then we went to the weather, and we...
This was all before there were hot...
Thing over again.
This is like all before hot takes, right, Brian?
Oh, man, I was hot taking like crazy.
You just launched some sports grenade, you know? George Gervin, I don't think it was that good. What are your thoughts?
How is David Robinson? Yeah. How can he still be?
Right.
Man, it was,
David Robinson.
Like I have a fever dream about that day often when I bulked the Rush Limbaugh show.
I wish you to come out hot with David Robinson. He's been stealing from the Spurs for years. We all know it. When we gonna get rid of this guy?
He's a raging alcoholic.
So you're back in the booth tomorrow night. You got the Brewers game, right?
Oh, yeah. That was quite a tangent to get back to that point. Yeah, back tomorrow.
That And we'll
I don't know how you and I don't know how you guys work it, but like I don't talk to Rock much when we're not on the air. So we text and we communicate, but we don't like. It's like we save everything for when.
Well, otherwise you don't have anything to talk about.
Right. Right,
like how are you hitting up Bob in the when you're not on the radio? Probably
really
never.
Not at all.
Not in the last couple of decades. Like, let's say I text Brian. Let's say I text Brian off the air. Oh my God, I just got home. My fly was down all day. Now I can't use that on the show.
That's right. You got to keep that fresh.
It's got to be. It's got to come out of nowhere. And then it's like, what? How did you do that?
Yeah.
You know that you don't.
That's
you don't,
how exactly how it works with. With Rock and I, and has forever, and I love the guy like a brother, maybe an older uncle, but he's awesome. It's weird because people think, well, you guys must be best friends off the air, and I go, well, kind of, but we don't really talk much.
Right? Yeah, you know who told us that? You know who told us who started
Who's
us
that?
Down this path? Steve Dahl. We had him on once, and we were on the air, and we got off the air, and Steve. Was
during just, commercials. Yeah. And we're still talking. He goes, "Why are you guys?"
He goes, "What
talking?
Are you guys doing?"
Shut up.
And we, yeah, we're, yeah much. It was. I was probably like 27, 28 years old. He goes, "What are you doing? You're wasting all this. Say, just be quiet."
Yeah.
And it was like brilliant. Maybe the best advice we ever got. You know,
that's true, man. So I now, agree with that. I totally agree with that. Although, if we aired some of the things that we said between. Innings and during commercial, we wouldn't have had this longevity.
Well, it's true for everybody.
That's the rule now. You can only talk about something off the air that you could never in a million years bring up on the air. So that's what happens.
Yeah, that's how we entertain ourselves with the secondary conversation that's going on. And the Uke's the master.
Yes, he is. We've all heard the Norm MacDonald stories.
right.
So, well, Brian, we appreciate you taking time out. We know you're busy. It's obvious because you're always – what'd you shoot yesterday, by the way, when you were golfing?
I shot an 80. I actually did not have a great day. So
You shot an 80?
I was a high man on the total. I was playing with a bunch of really good golfers, and, yeah, I shot an 80. I was not proud of that. I know I'm a snob, and it sounds elitist, but – when you get to a certain level, you know, I want to shoot like par and in the 70s. I don't want to shoot 8. Anything that starts with an 8 makes me feel like I wasted my day, which is not true. We had a great time. And
Bob, when was your last wasted day?
Wow.
That's a good opening lyric to a song.
Freddie Fender already took it. Wasted days and wasted nights.
I know.
So there you go.
I like it.
All right. Don't you have
a
plane?
A beautiful day.
You have a plane to catch?
Tonight.
Yeah.
After the game. I'm doing Nuggets Clippers on TNT. That'll be 10 p.m. Eastern. You guys will be nowhere found. You'll be 10 toes up at that time.
Yep.
9 p.m. Central. And then I'll be back on the Brewers tomorrow. I'm taking the red eye tonight.
All right. Stop in and see us this season if you get some time. I'd love to have you.
And vice versa. You guys come hang out anytime. You never do. And great job with the
They back. Wouldn't
you
let us up there.
There. I can hear you mumbling to Rock.
Security clearance operation we have to go through, but we can get you up there.
I can hear you leaning over to Rock. I don't know. I didn't think they'd come. I'm sorry. I didn't think they'd come. I'll take care of it.
They haven't come. 18 years. They've never been. Now they're here.
And we don't have any.
Keep up the great work with the Mac Fund, too. You know I love those folks more than just about anything in Milwaukee. And you guys are so great for them and with them and all that you're doing. So
thanks, Brian. Thanks for saying
that. We love you for that.
Thanks for being on with us today.
All right, Brian. Thanks for the
My
time.
Pleasure.
Brian Anderson.
Hey, Brian.
You're tomorrow night doing the Brewer game.